I've been doing the sermon series, seven-part series, on the last seven words that Jesus spoke on the cross, and today is number seven. I'd like to thank all of you, the congregation, for your support and prayers and words of encouragement in the past 7 weeks. I have been truly blessed with the wisdom and the insights from those seven words of Jesus. I still believe they are relevant in our life in the 21st century, and I hope it has been the case with you as well. So this morning, we'll think about the last of the last seven words of Jesus Christ, which he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Once again, this verse, verse 46, besides the word Father at the beginning, "into your hands I commit my spirit," is a direct quote of Psalm 31:5. Happens to be King David's prayer spoken to God 1,000 years before the crucifixion. By saying it, Jesus fulfilled another prophecy on the Messiah himself. So what I'm going to do this morning is that I'll walk you through the verse 46, as I said, very simple sentence, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," in three parts, word by word, "Father, into your hands, and I commit my spirit." Let's think about the first word, "Father." I'm sure you noticed here that Jesus calls the Almighty God in heaven Father, in a very affectionate and powerful way, Father, he called. Last Sunday, I spoke extensively about us becoming God's adopted children by believing in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And the Bible says that we were strangers to God when before we became a believer, and even says that we were hostile with God and to God. But through Christ's atonement means that he died on the cross on our behalf and paid the wage of sin has been paid. Therefore, peace was restored and reconciliation took place between us and God. And through our faith in Christ, we now have become God's children. Now, God is our heavenly Father and we are his children on earth. He is the king, and therefore that makes us automatically princesses and princes in God's kingdom. Therefore, it is our privilege to call our God in heaven Father. Each time we call him upon his name Father, it means very special to him. Therefore, we should not hesitate to call God in heaven Father all the time. I don't know how many of you actually call God in heaven Father all the time, but some of us have some kind of fear. No, I shouldn't call him Father. I mean, he's too holy and I'm not that, you know, worthy. But, you know, you shouldn't go that route. You should call God in heaven Father all the time. This is why I believe so. Whenever you do, guess what? It will catch God's attention right away. A lot of us been parents and still are, and let's say in a small room, let's 10 kids playing. One of them is your child. And for whatever reasons, you could, as a parent, listening to the child's playing, you could tell the difference between your child's voice calling you father or mother or the rest of them. When they do, you just immediately pay attention to it. That's what's happening in our heavenly realm. When you call God in heaven Father, gets his attention. He is delighted in you each time you call him Father. It is equally important for us to realize who our Father is. Yeah, we have a vague understanding, Father, the Creator, whatever, right? That's about it. But I'm going to remind you one more time who our Heavenly Father is to us. What's the reason? So that we may better understand why in the world Jesus committed his spirit into the Father's hands. And later on, we should commit our spirit into Father's hands as well. Before we do, though, we need to know who the Father is. This is what the Bible says. The Father God is the Creator. Everyone knows that. He is also the sustainer of the entire universe and every living being in it. Sustainer means that we owe our life, everything we have, to God. He sustains every one of us and every living being in the entire universe. And thirdly, He is the protector. So He's the creator, sustainer, and protector. Keep that in your mind. He is the one and the only one trustworthy enough to whom we can commit our spirit. No one else in the world worthy to commit our spirit to. Only God is, and He alone is faithful, and He alone is capable, He alone is secure. And I'm going to just speak a little more about that later on. So that's the Father. What about the second part, into your hands? And this time the key word is hands. I'm not talking about any ordinary human hands like yours and mine. Rather, I'm talking about God's hands that are mighty, the divine hands that created heavens and the earth, and all the creatures in them. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to Psalmist 102, verse 25 says this, "You founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." He created them all. Not only that, the same hands God fashioned and formed you and me in His image and likeness. Psalm 119 says this, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Not only that, the same hands could deliver you and me from any troubles. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 2 says this, God speaking to the people of Israel, "Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom? Or have I no power to deliver?" Now each time you are in doubt, "Oh, I don't think God will deliver me or rescue me from any trouble," always ask the question yourself, as God asked Israel, "Have I no power to deliver you?" And you have to answer it. "I don't think, God, you have power." None of us will say that. Rather, "Yes, Lord, I believe you have power to deliver me." With the same hands, God also upholds us. You could forget the rest of my sermon, but please take this verse with you when you go home today. Isaiah 41:10. God says, "Do not fear." A lot of us are afraid of many things, don't we? Especially today, living in the 21st century, seems like almost every day we are bombarded with some kind of there's things that create a fear in us. Fear of unknown future, whatever it is, right? So each time you go through that route, God says, "Do not fear." You ask God, "Why? Why should I fear?" And God says, "For I am with you." Have you ever tried to go into the dark room all by yourself? And even myself, you know, I consider myself brave. Some of you laugh, you don't believe that I'm a brave. Anyway, when you go into a dark room all by yourself, there's something like fear in there, right? Imagine this. A good friend of mine, you know, 7 foot tall, just said, "Hey, Pastor Troy, I'll walk with you." All of a sudden, my fear level goes down. Why? Because the guy standing next to me, someone with me, simply makes the fear level go down. Let's say I have two guys, you know, football players on both hands. I feel like, hey, I'm not afraid of darkness. The fear level even goes down. What if you have an entire army of the United States of America behind you? You never fear anything. Guess what? God says, "I am with you." When God is going with me, God is more powerful and mightier than the United States of Army, right? Can you imagine? Listen again. God says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." He continues, "Do not anxiously look about you." A lot of us looking around our lives and we are so full of, overflowed with what? A lot of anxiety. Some of us have to take antidepressant or, you know, anxiety pills. In those moments, you have to remember what God says. "Do not anxiously look about you." And you ask God, "Why?" And this is what He will say, "For I am your God." I am your God. It's not just ordinary human being, but I am your God. And he continues giving us three more promises. He says, I'll strengthen you, surely I'll help you, surely I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. So you got it. When you're afraid, God says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And when you're anxious about something, God says, don't be, because I'm your God. And he says, I'll strengthen you, I'll uphold you, and I'll help you. Once you and I are in God's hands, no one can snatch us from his hands either. Such strong hands of God we are in, and into such mighty hands Jesus committed his spirit. So should we. So I'm moving on to the third part of the verse 46, I commit my spirit. Once again, let's focus on the word to commit. I looked up in the dictionary to find exactly what it means. I realized that there are three definitions listed in under the category of to commit. The first one is to carry out or perpetrate. We all know that. I committed a crime or something. We all know that, under, you know. The second meaning of the to commit is to pledge. I am committed to so and so. I'm committed to certain, you know, cause, whatever. We all understand that. The third meaning listed in the commit is this, to entrust. Here in Jesus' word, it means to entrust or to put into someone's care or protection. That's what it means. Some of us have the financial portfolio. You know, we want to make sure that our assets will grow. So we would rely on the best financial advisor around in town to protect our portfolio or even grow them, right? For our physical health, you and I look for the best doctor available in our town. Sometimes we travel an hour away to get to the best doctor. And how much more then, you think, we want the best candidate to take care of our spirit? By the way, our spirit is the most important part of our human being. They say that in our human being, one person, you could see that body, flesh and bone. Second one is soul, that's mind here, emotions. And far more important than body and soul is your spirit. Therefore, don't you think our spirit deserves the best caretaker of all, who happens to be God? And let me tell you three reasons very briefly. The Bible says why God is the most qualified, in fact, one and the only one to whom we can commit our spirit. Number one, because God is true and faithful. Just think of the meaning one more time. He is true and faithful. He is the God of truth. He does not change. His faithfulness endures forever. Second reason, God delivers us from any harm. He rescues us from any troubles. He's our protector, he's our helper, and we can count on him. And lastly, because he secures us, meaning that no one can snatch us from his hands. Therefore, it would be very foolish of us not to commit our spirit into God's hands, when we know how mighty and secure God is, far wiser and far stronger and far faithful than any human beings we can think of, including ourselves. Once we entrust our spirit into God's hands, what happens then? God will spare no attention to our spirit and provide the best protection and security for eternity. That's what you get in return. In fact, I also discovered in the scripture that the scripture commands us to commit into God's hands not only our spirit, but also ourselves, our ways, and our works. Our entire life and every aspect of it, temporal and eternal. And that's what Jesus did all the time, all the way, and throughout his life. He committed himself to God's hands. As for closing, I will say one more thing and I'll be through. I looked further up into the concordance. What exactly means to commit? What's the list of things that commit, you know, in the Bible? And interestingly, I found three references in the Bible, such as this. Psalm 22:8, Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Meaning the person who committed himself to the Lord. Psalm 37:5 says this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. Proverbs 16:3 says this. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. I also discovered in these three references, the word commit also carries the meaning of rule. Reminds me of the time that I used to bowl. How many of you have just bowled in the past? I think you will understand. What is your bowling score, by the way? What do? Grab the ball, and you have to let go and roll it, right? That's the meaning of commit. Do you have anxieties, worries in your work and in your life, whatever it is? God says, roll it to me. Roll yourself to the Lord. Roll your life and worries and cares to the Lord, your works to the Lord, and your way to the Lord, and your spirit into God's mighty hands, and then he will take care of you. You will be secure. Let's bow heads and pray. Father, into your mighty hands, we too commit our lives, our ways, our works, even our body, soul and body, and ultimately our spirit. Our times are in your hands, you said, so are we. Our entire life, protect us, deliver us, and keep us in your mighty hands forever. Into your hands, we commit ourselves today. In Christ's name, amen.